Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Extraordinaire.
Thanks for tuning in for the second half. Let's just jump right into it.
So yeah, that's the NFC North. We'll get into the fab spending from last week. So the big spender this week was Tommy DeVito. He went to Jackie for $8. No one else even bid on this quarterback. Not even Mike, shockingly. He only had three quarterbacks. He didn't want to get a fourth one. I don't know why.
He doesn't want the cutlets. Yeah. Tommy Cutlets? Come on.
Legend. Yeah, Jackie. Love to see him back. It's weird because they had they had a backup there. Can't think of his name right now. But someone else was like ahead of the pecking order before Tommy DeVito.
Oh really?
I didn't. He's like he's like a career backup kind of guy. He's always around the NFL. I can't remember who it is. Yeah, they jumped over him to go to Tommy DeVito, so it almost looks like the Giants are just like, we're tanking.
Yeah.
You know, we cut Daniel Jones for putting in Tommy DeVito. We don't want to win any more games. And we want to get a high draft pick to pick a quarterback next year.
What do you gain starting if it's like a kind of like a middling, you know, journeyman quarterback? I at least give DeVito some chance to, you know, kind of build on his young career, maybe get some game time in to become a good backup for you. You know, I can see the point of it. But yeah, I would say the main purpose is let's just tank and get the best draft capital we can for next year.
Drew Lock. That's the name I was looking at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, that's surprising. Drew Lock's actually pretty young, too.
That's what I'm saying. Drew Lock's better than Tommy DeVito, is he not?
I would think so.
You don't think so?
I would think so. It's hard to say. Like, I mean, they're both bad, but
9 out of 10 people would say he's probably better.
He's got the draft pedigree. I'll give him that. But yeah, we haven't really seen Drew Lock play, so who knows?
Well, true. But they brought him there to be a backup. It's not really what. Yeah, I mean, I get it. But at the same time, it's just weird to not put your best player in to try to win. Just put Tommy DeVito in and be like, yeah. I mean, the season's over regardless for the Giants. I mean, I'm not arguing that. But it's just still weird that it's like, yeah, we'd rather lose than try. But yes, that was kind of the biggest spend. It was the biggest single spend on Thursday. This next one's weird to me. I'm curious if you know what happened with this because it involves your wife. But so she bids $7 on Chase McLaughlin, which was a kicker for Tampa Bay. Because her kicker was probably on buy. I'm guessing. I didn't actually look. But usually you don't bid any money on a kicker unless you're on buy. But she got him. And then she somehow dropped him for Zane Gonzalez, Washington's kicker, on the same day. In the same fab thing. Like she spent the $7 on this guy. Then dropped him for Zane Gonzalez. Oh. I think for $0. So then Saturday, she wanted McLaughlin back, so she paid $8 on Saturday to get Chase back. So overall, she spent $15 for Chase. I mean, I was looking at the thing, and it's like, these both happened Thursday at 10, so right when the fab clears. She got Chase, and then dropped Chase to get Zane. So I don't know if it was like, I don't know how you could queue up to drop the person you just got, unless it's just like you're designating to drop whatever kick you have to get this person.
No,
did she say anything about it?
No, I don't think she even probably realized she did it. I didn't even know. And I saw someone say it in the chat, I think Lee, and then I looked and I'm like, oh, I saw she like went for a kicker. So I just thought he was making fun of that. I didn't realize there was a whole like situation behind it. I wasn't paying enough attention, I guess. I honestly think she probably did the release and then whatever she did for her bids, because she normally just sets her bids and then she doesn't look for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm assuming she looked at her team again on like Saturday, probably forgot that she even did that, and there's like, oh, I want this kicker now, because she'll just pick probably the top person on the list. I ain't gonna lie,
it's a kicker.
Yeah, exactly. So, and she's been kind of careless of her money because she knows it's kind of at the end of the year, there's really nothing to spend her money on, so she's gonna probably be a little more careless with it. But yeah, I think it's mostly just she just didn't even see what she was doing, she just forgot.
Yeah, I don't understand how the first chunk of it happened because I didn't realize I was looking at I was writing this up on Tuesday morning, and I was like, how the fuck? Because she picked up this guy at 10 a.m. Then she immediately dropped him at 10 a.m. to pick up a different kicker all at 10 a.m. So I'm like, how could that be even processed? I don't know how that could process with our system.
I only see the one kicker drop. When did she get Zane Gonzalez?
Maybe I misread it, but I'm Pretty sure that's how I saw it.
She dropped Zane to get a pause chased break on the
23rd. That's on Saturday.
Okay.
So but the period before that is when this happened. Okay. It was the Thursday one, so it was 21st. Yeah, look at it. I'll just mention the last spend was, this was me. I just spent $6 each on Isaiah Likely, Justice Hill, and Steelers defense. I was blowing most of the rest of my money to try to beat Axel this week, but it didn't work out. I lost to her anyways.
Huh. That's weird. That did happen.
Yeah, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. That's not even possible. You don't have the player on your team.
Yeah, so I'm like, how could it be queued to drop that player?
I wonder if some glitch happened to her, and it just like picked the player she got, and it automatically just assumed it was the original player. Like the way the system like went through them all, it must have just thought it was the same kicker again and just dropped it. I'm guessing it was just some glitch in the system. She probably just had multiple bids in to make sure she got one of them. And yeah, I think it just, whatever it was with timing, decided to do that. I don't think that was her fault. I think that was just the system kind of screwing her.
Well, I mean, I guess note to the league, if that ever happens to you on like a, and it matters, I don't think this really matters.
No, I wouldn't think he's upset about it. She kind of doesn't even know. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, if it ever happens to you for a legitimate player, text me and we'll fix it if it needs fixing. Because I've never seen that before, and I honestly don't know how it could have happened. Like, I don't understand it.
It's just got to be a timing issue because all these things kind of just happen instantly, and the way the system runs through it, I'm guessing it just, like I said, I think it had to be that. I'll look up and see if there's after the podcast, just see if there's anything that people talk
like,
about.
You can't queue to drop a player you just got. So like, there's no way she could have got that guy and then had him set up to be dropped to pick up anybody. Like, it shouldn't matter.
No,
that player shouldn't be possible to drop the same day you got him or the same exact time you got him. Especially because she spent money on Chase, and then I think the other kicker was free. So she paid money for Chase and then picked up the free kicker that she probably had as like her backup plan in case she didn't get that kicker.
No, she definitely has a case to complain if it mattered. I don't think she'd care enough. But yeah, it's like one of those things like that's pretty messed up. So if it does happen, I agree. Like, that needs to be corrected if we ever see something like that happen in the future.
Yeah, I mean, if that happens and you're like bidding on, if you're trying to get a backup running back and it's like, in case I don't get this guy because he might go for more, but I'll put a backup one in for some bum just because I need somebody to start, and then you get dicked.
Well, think about earlier in the year, like you were like $30 on Jordan Mace and got him, and then you dropped it for a guy you bid zero on just because you're like, well, if I don't get this guy, I'll probably drop
bugs,
this guy.
Yeah.
Right, like that sounds like, I mean, that could be.
And then Jordan Mason goes back onto the waiver and you spend $30.
So you literally just lose $20 for someone else to take it.
And then everyone sees what everyone bid last time, so it's like, oh
my god, that'd be such a mess.
Yeah. Well, I can just take the third. It'd be easy to fix. I would just need to know about it. Because I guess I do kind of look at them for this, but otherwise I don't really look at them.
I wonder if it's something that happens every now and then, you just never noticed it.
I'm kind of curious, but I look at them every week, and I don't think I've ever...
This is the first year you probably ever looked at those.
This is the first year I've ever looked at it, but I've looked at them every week. I don't think I've ever seen something like that before. But it was also a kicker, so it was interesting. It was noteworthy to write about.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things that actually happened in the league. It's definitely a glitch, so something unique happened to us, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that was the fab spending of the week. We had nothing happen in the trade block. I think you had 2 days to do trades yet if you want to do one. So if anyone wants to get it done now, like I think we mentioned last week, but I'm probably gonna move that back or move that up a week, maybe two next season.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
So we'll jump into the injuries. So Gardner Minshew broke his collarbone and he'll miss the rest of the season. So I think Aiden O'Connell's back in the starting position then for the Raiders. He's
starting this week, at least, Aiden O'Connell. Okay. We'll see how long that lasts, but yeah.
I know, I think they kind of wanted Daniel Jones to come over there. It sounds like Daniel Jones is like, no, I'm not going to play for you. And I think he would have had the starting job.
I'm sure he would have, but I mean, that's probably no different than what he just dealt with on the Giants. I think he wants to go to a quarterback whisper type guy, which is Kevin O'Connell, and then have a guy that can maybe help resurrect his career. Yeah. And then he can go next year, almost the Sam Darnold thing, play on there for the rest of the year. Then next year, you're going to be a valuable backup. People are going to pay. You have some success in the NFL. Now you have some really good coaching under your belt. okay, you know, someone that's probably on the fence with their starter or is going to draft a rookie, he's like the perfect quarterback for that team.
Should have, yeah, he should have gone to the Rams. That's what Sam Darnold did. That's what Baker Mayfield did. They both just went over there for a little bit, hung out, and they're like, all right, now I'm good again.
It's gonna
hang out in LA for a year with Sean McVay.
I was hoping the Lions were gonna get him. I really did. I thought he'd be a good backup, you know, maybe do some kind of like goal line stuff where you can do some QB sneaks with him, almost like the tush push. I feel like you could really take advantage of that in the playoffs. So yeah, I think it's a good pickup for the Vikings, especially for them, because like he could be better than Darnold if you give him good coaching. I mean, Darnold looked worse than him his whole career until he got there.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they're – I don't know what the Vikings are going to do next year with J.J. McCarthy, but, I mean, it's good to have a competent backup. If a player misses – if your quarterback has to miss a week or two in, during critical games, you can't afford to lose him. And if you're putting in – like what the Niners did last week, you can't just put some random dude in and expect your offense to move. Or what the Dolphins did. Like,
yep, exactly.
You need a competent backup. Someone that can at least do something. And Daniel Jones is that, at least.
I mean, at this point, he's the best backup in the league, I would say. I mean, he's a borderline starting NFL player. Like, most backups don't even reach that. So the fact that you have a player that, if Darnold got injured, you're not even that worried about a big drop-off, especially if he gets a couple weeks under his belt. Like, he could be an upgrade for Darnold, for all we know. So, yeah,
that'd be something.
It's a valuable thing to have.
Yeah, but up next, we had David Montgomery. He limped off the field in the third quarter and didn't return with a shoulder injury. But he said he expects to play on Thanksgiving, so I'd say expect him to miss 3 or 4 weeks. Is that how it works now in the NFL?
Yeah, that's the way it works. I mean, we're pretty straightforward as a team, so I appreciate that with us. I think even Dan even came out and said that there's no way Montgomery's missing this game because it's the Bears. Like, he wants his revenge. So he said there was no way he was going to get him to sit out this game, maybe if he could have tried to convince him. So I think we're good there. They said he could have came back in last week. He was mostly, I think, just resting because they knew they had a Thursday night game. Why put him out there? He's already banged up a little bit.
Yeah, and you were pretty far ahead at that point. So,
yep. Really not like our backup's that bad.
Yeah.
Call him a backup. It's probably better than Montgomery.
I mean, they're both very good at their own role. They're both extremely good.
Yep.
Next injury, we had both Commanders running backs got hurt this week. So Brian Robinson Jr. rolled his ankle and didn't play in the second half. And then Austin Eckler had a concussion. And I don't know who their third guy is, but that's probably a hot waiver wire pickup this week. I should probably look into that.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. I guess we don't have our waivers going through yet, huh?
No.
Everyone,
yeah, look go through tomorrow phone. Morning. But no one will hear this probably.
Probably the top player if it is.
But I mean, it's the ankle might be a problem, but the concussion, you know, he'll probably miss. Usually you miss a week with a concussion nowadays. If it's your first one, you're probably going to miss 1 week.
Something tells me Eckler's had to have had some. He's such a small dude. I feel like it's not his first concussion. So you never know. Those guys have gotten multiple.
But he'll almost certainly miss a week. And that offense, it's shown that it can be pretty good. So a starting running back on that team would be useful.
Yeah, these guys have both been good starters all year.
Yeah. So if both their carries get combined into one person behind them, that could actually be extremely valuable.
I don't think that's the case. At least that's not what ESPN thinks. It looks like Jeremy Nichols is one of their backups. I think he's kind of like a similar player to Eckler. And he's only at 5.6. They must have like a stable of backs that they think they might use.
Like, I mean, they're probably bringing – he's probably like the next guy on the active roster, but I'm sure they're bringing people up from, you know, the practice squad and shit because you're not rolling into a game with one running back.
Right, exactly.
It's a recipe for disaster.
So it could be really good for you, or you probably get the wrong guy and it could go really bad. So
yeah. Or you'll get one really banger week and then Eckler will come back and they'll find out the ankle injury wasn't that bad either and they'll both be back. Next injury we had Romeo Doubs Stubbs. He suffered a concussion with Thursday night. Packers played Thursday night, so I really doubt he plays this week. Basically had 4 days to clear concussion protocol. I don't even know if that's possible.
I think Thursday is the first day you can clear.
Yeah.
In a week. So, yeah, I don't think he's playing.
Yeah. I mean, we know who the other wide receivers in the Packers are. So if you want to take a chance on Watson or Wicks, I think I have Watson. Wicks might be out there. I think I had him. I think I dropped him. Just like you dropped
him. If he gets playing time, we've both talked about how much we liked him earlier in the year. I know. So he just might need to get a good stretch. He might be in his own head if he gets a couple games in. Like, when I watch him, I don't see body catching. I see he attacks the ball, which is what you want to be a good hands catcher in the NFL. Like, that's how you become a good receiver. So he seems to know the techniques. He's just, it might be a mental thing with him.
He's just thinking about turning downfield a little bit too soon. It's camp. And the last one we had, Josh Downs, Colts wide receiver. He hurt his shoulder. He did continue to play, but is supposedly a long shot to play this coming week. So take that for what you will if you got Josh Downs. And then, see, we got the playoff preview since we're 2 weeks away from our fantasy playoffs. So if we were just take a quick glance at it, see how things are currently shaping up to be. So the three division winners right now, we got Jim on top of the Bloods division at 11-1. With everyone else in that division is at 6-6. So, and then Scoots is on top of the Crips division at 6-6 with two other 6-6 teams and one 5-7 team. That's a very live division with 2 weeks left. Basically anybody could take it because you're all playing against each other in the division. And then Richard is on top of the Kings division at 7-5. So 7-5 is the second best record in the league right now. He's sitting on top of the Kings. In the Kings, there's another 6-6 team. There's a 4-8 team and a 3-9 team, which would be myself behind him. So currently, Jim is the only person that is technically locked in to go to the playoffs. And I am the only person that is locked to not make the playoffs. So everyone else in the league is still alive. Ashley at 4-8. You still got a chance to go to the playoffs. I guess I technically could on points, but
I was gonna say, you're not technically out. You'd have to have some crazy weeks, I think. But yeah.
I didn't look at the points and see what a stretch that would be to get, but
there's a couple teams with some decent point totals that don't have the greatest record, so I don't think you'd be in that.
Yeah, I'm not actually considering it. I'm just, I guess technically, I looked at there at ESPN's thing, and I'm officially eliminated based on record, but because we do the points thing, I guess you're never technically fully out. But with 2 weeks to go and being down so many points,
you're almost down 100 by most teams that you'd be competing with. So you would have to really outscore the next couple weeks.
So if I score like 170 the next 2 weeks, then I get a chance, but.
And then they have to have like probably below average games.
And then I need them to have bad games too. Yeah. And like a lot of people to have bad games.
Right. It's not just like one or two people. It's like probably half the league has to just choke.
So currently the layout of the playoffs would be Jim would have a bye, which actually already locked in for the bye with that record. So yeah, you have a week one bye regardless of the playoffs. Currently Richard would also have the week one bye, and Scoots would have to play week one because he has the lowest wins out of the three division winners. And then the wild cards we'd have entering would be the next two best records, but all these people are going to be 6-6 because, like I mentioned, there's just a ton of 6-6 teams right now. So points goes to the tiebreaker for that. So it would be these would go to Tiff and Carson's would get the first two spots. Because their scores are 1,383.62 and 1,376.12. So even that's extremely close.
It's amazing how close the teams are this year. Yeah. Like, outside of my team and your team, everyone else is just in this huge bash between each other. Everyone's taking wins against each other. Everyone's teams within probably 50 points of each other. Yeah. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8 teams are 1,300 points right now between 1,300 and 1,380. And they're all 5 or 6-6 and 5-7 pretty much.
Yeah. I'm really glad we did the, it won't matter so much for your division, but for the other two divisions, I'm really glad we're doing all the division games at the end, the final stretch.
Yeah.
Cause these games matter a ton. These games are big time into whether you're going to go to the playoffs or not.
I honestly don't think we could have the turnout go much better than it has. This is the most active playoff stretch I've ever seen, I think, in fantasy. Like, every team has a shot except for one team. That's pretty cool to see.
But 2 weeks ago, there's usually at least two teams that are locked in, and there's usually at least two teams that are locked out. This year, it's just one person's locked in and one person's locked out.
You can't even
beyond that, everyone's live.
It's going to happen. It's going to be completely different in next week and the week after, probably.
Yeah, I started writing this, like, it's so fucking close. The current people who are in doesn't even pay to say it, really, but the last one that goes in would be the highest point scored that isn't already qualified to be in, and this happens to be Lee, who's also 6-6 because he has 1,369.2. So that would be the winners' playoffs. So the losers' playoffs would be myself and Ashley getting the first round bye, and then Vicky, Jackie, Poor, and Mike would be duking it out in the first round to see who would get out. But like I said, besides myself, none of those people are condemned to be down here with me. So
not yet.
Keep playing, keep winning. Yeah, that's the playoff picture. Like I said, very live, very. I was shocked how close it was. I didn't realize.
I just listed three teams, and there's 14 points that separates their scores.
Yeah,
and they're the teams fighting for those last three spots with the point differential thing. It just shows you how important every little decision you're going to make for the next 2 weeks is going to be.
Yeah, leaving a lot of points on your bench will sink you.
Yep.
At this point, so try to make the right roster decisions.
Well, Vicky was worried like two weeks ago.
Start the right quarterback.
Right. If Mike just had the right quarterback, he'd probably be, this wouldn't even be a thing because he'd probably have like two or three more wins. But Vicky was talking to him like last week or the week before how she has no shot making the playoffs. I'm like, Vicky, you are like pretty much as good a shot as anyone else in the league right now. There's like nothing to worry about. And then she won two games in a row and now she's looking pretty good.
Yeah, what's Vicky? Is she 5-7?
She's 5-7.
Yeah.
But her team's really starting to turn it on the last couple of weeks. She's got Josh Jacobs, who's been great. Since probably the Lions game, even the Lions
5-7 is it's one game back from winning your division.
Yep, because of that division in particular. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she just beat Scott.
Scooter.
Yeah, that division's just so tight.
Yeah. I mean they all pretty much are. I mean, yours, you already won it, but in mine, I'm already out of it. But there's still, like, in yours, like, all the people are still playing for a playoff spot because there's other ways to get in.
Yep.
And in mine, the same. Richard's 7-5, but I guess Ashley can't overtake him.
No, she would have to get 7 points.
But she could get to 6 wins still. She could get to 6 wins. She could have points. Ashley's pretty close to being on the brink of out, too, actually.
Mostly I think she's 6. Yeah. And her, what are her points?
Someone's going to have 7. I think she has the lowest points in the league.
Yeah. You got 500. Okay, that's why you made that comment. Yeah, because you just beat.
It's like my team's technically not worse. Yeah, but it is. I have the worst record. And she beat me heads up.
Yeah, once she gets the heads up point, you can't break anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we'll jump into the matchup recap from last week. So we had myself versus Ashley, the bet of the week last week. Ashley wins this one, 107.66 to 85.28. So it's over. Officially the worst team in the league. Yep, bummer. So the only highlight on my whole team was my kicker. He tried to give me a chance. He scored 22. Probably the best kicker performance I've had all year. But really nothing else. Show it on my team at all. But Ashley on her side, she had Tony Pollard. He had the best game of his season. He scored 20.4. Nico Collins had a great game on his second week back. He definitely didn't have 925 yards. I'm guessing he had 125 yards and a touchdown. It sounds more reasonable.
Like, guy's going to redefine fantasy football here.
Yeah, that would have been the headline of the show if someone scored 900 yards in a game. But so Nico Hans had a good game. Tony Pollard had a good game. She didn't have that impressive a score either, but it was enough to take me down. So, congrats to that. Not too much to talk about on that one. Tiff played Mike, so we had a lover's quarrel. Tiff wins this one 155.7 to 73.8. So Mike got doubled up by his wife. I think he sent it out in the group chat. He was raped by his wife.
Definitely was. It happens. He got pegged almost.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mike started the right quarterback this week. He started Jaden Daniels. He scored 30.4 fantasy points, but every other single player on his team scored single digits, so hard to win that way. Mike also started the Rams defense, who scored -7 against Philly. So that really hurts. You got to watch those defenses when you're streaming them. You don't want to start them against, you know, the top scoring, some of the top scoring teams in the league.
It seems like a risky defense to start against.
It's easy to forget about sometimes, especially if your defense has been doing all right, and just like you just don't think to look like, oh shit, they have a terrible matchup this week. I should probably drop them and switch it out for something else.
Very true. And the Rams, I think, have had some good weeks, so
yeah,
see that happening.
On Tiff's side, she had four players score over 20 points this week. So she had Sam Darnold, Jahmyr Gibbs, DJ Moore, and Courtland Sutton. I mean, Darnold and Gibbs, that's pretty normal for them, but DJ Moore and Courtland Sutton, those are very good games for them.
And then she also had fire lately. I think he might be the most outside of Gibbs. He's definitely been the best player out of that list. Well, I guess you have AJ Brown here too, but yeah, Sutton. He's been like a top 10 receiver of like four of his last five games.
Yeah. Well, Bo Nix is coming on strong.
Yeah.
In the last like month and 5 weeks to a month. Yeah.
Sutton's always been a good player. He's just been plagued by a terrible quarterback play. So you finally get a, looks like a pretty solid quarterback with him and turns his career around.
I'm curious what happens with Bo Nix the rest of the season.
I haven't really followed him. Is he like being considered like a great rookie? Like I haven't honestly.
I think Dowie is. He might be a rookie of the year at this point. Like, because it was Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels has fallen off so hard. Now Bo Nix is looking so good.
It'll be a tight race, especially if Bo Nix can kind of outpace him for the rest of the year. It might be hard to beat that start of Daniels though, because like he was just on a tear, and like he could always use the injury card. But
true,
but I wouldn't be surprised if Nix wins it at this point.
I mean, 5 weeks of the season left. If Bo Nix keeps doing what he's doing, and Jaden Daniels keeps doing what he's been doing for the last, you know, month.
Yeah, I would say if that happens, I would give it to Nix.
I think they both had a really good third of the season. So now we got the last third left, and we'll see who serves it, I guess.
Yeah. It's fun to watch. It's cool to have someone else come in nowhere and does it. Like what last year was Stroud. Everyone just knew it was going to be Stroud. It'll be fun to see who actually wins that.
Yeah. But next match we had Lee versus Jim. So you won this one 158.26 to 107.52. Saquon, you went for 255 yards and two touchdowns. That's just rushing yards, I think. Didn't he have you over 300 yards, all purpose yards?
I think he was either like 295 or something like that, or maybe it was
not right quite correct.
He had like 40 receiving yards, so I think maybe 295.
I mean, insane game. Saquon's looking like the Christian McCaffrey of this season. Like, if he's on your team's awesome. Yeah. That's basically what Christian McCaffrey was last year. He's a huge difference maker. He's just scoring. A bad week is when he scores like 18, 20 points, but so often he's scoring 30 plus.
I'm shocked that like Jackie didn't even try to like counter me when I offered her, because like I was saying how much I loved him beginning of the year. I would have probably offered like another like starter quality player for that trade when we made it. I was just like, as soon as I saw him week one, I just at that point I was like, okay, this guy's gonna probably be the MVP of the fantasy season. It just seemed like the perfect match of talent with offensive line. I mean, you could argue they have a better offensive line than the Lions, who most people say are the best line in the league. I probably would pick the Eagles over the Lions. I think they have better high-end talent. And you added one of the most gifted players we've seen in the last 10 years to that team. And it's like everyone just kind of harped on him because of the whole Giants situation. But that team is just not ran well. They have nothing going for them offensively. Their offensive line has been a train wreck for years. And Saquon, under that, no one can be good, even Saquon. And now you put him on the Eagles and look what happens. It's just crazy.
It's insane what he's doing. I mean, I guess you kind of forget how good their O-line was. Like, every running back they have always looks good on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they go elsewhere and don't do much. But when they're there, they do great, because, I mean, they just get those massive holes that get opened up. So I mean, that gives him the first, you know, a lot of times he gets like the 5 yards out of that, but like what he does once he gets to that secondary and he burns the one guy and just fucking takes off, like how many like 50 plus yard touchdowns does he have this season? It's got to be like 5 of them or something. Like he,
or 6. Yeah,
so often he just gets like
every single one of them in my head. I know some of them there end up a touchdown. They're still like 50 plus.
Yeah, I mean, he just gets out there and he's just gone. He's so fast. And
if he didn't have Hurts to take away goal line carries, he probably has another like 6 touchdowns on this season. And we're talking about one of the greatest seasons of all time. I don't know if it's quite that good right now, but if he would have had those extra touchdowns, I'm sure it would have been. I mean, how much does Hurts have? He probably has over 10 touchdowns. He could arguably have probably 10 more touchdowns.
But do you think Saquon's MVP this season?
Will he win it? Or do I
think he's not going to win it? But do you think he's going to win it?
I would
he's not going to win it. Quarterbacks get it every time now. I don't think a non-quarterback's ever going to get it again.
I should make it like the difference between you and the like replacement level player, you know, like how good is, I guess that doesn't work either because I always pick the quarterback. Never mind. That's a terrible way to look at it.
Yeah.
I would say though, just because if you look at the award, like the most impactful season and try to like devalue the quarterback a little bit, I would say you have to say Saquon. I mean, you could say Henry too. If Henry kind of outpaces Saquon for the rest of the year, then I would say, yeah, maybe Henry could get put in that conversation because both of them are pushing for 2,000 yards.
He's been on a tear too.
So whoever wins that yardage race, they should win the MVP almost, I would say. I think that'd be kind of a cool way to look at it. Like who wins that yardage total at the end? Because they're both, if they both hit 2,000, I would hope they give it to them. Maybe just split it between them. That'd be so cool to see two running backs get 2,000. Yeah.
Sure one. Yeah.
I mean, hey, Barry Sanders and Favre did it once.
Yeah.
So it happens. So I think that'd be the coolest thing. It's like Henry and Saquon both get over 2,000 yards and split the MVP.
Yeah.
With how the Lamar's kind of fallen off. Mahomes hasn't had that great of a season. Goff, there's enough things to argue with the team around him being so great in that 5 interception game. Like, I think you kind of have to look at Saquon right now. Really do.
Even legitimately, I think currently he probably deserves it the most. I don't think he'll get it. Like, I think it's either, I don't know if they'll give Lamar another one, but Josh Allen might get it this year because he's been
steady. Yeah.
His team's been great. They only lost 2. And I mean, that's a team where he is the MVP of that team. I mean, the team's not that talented around him. I don't think, but man, that guy wins games. He had a little bit of a slow section in like the week, like, I don't know, 3-6 or so, but they won enough and they've looked very good.
I think he's had like 3 down games, but
yeah.
I mean, everyone's going to have down games, and yeah, he is the quarterback, I think, right now. If you were to pick a quarterback,
yeah,
you have to almost take him. Goff is too close to his 5 interception game. He's going to have a couple more games of just what he was doing before that game, I think, to kind of move that out of his conversation topics, you know, when you're talking about who wins the MVP. Lamar would have to get kind of back on pace because he's kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks, and he's still playing great, but like he hasn't been as dominant. So yeah, I think you'd have to give it to Allen. Record wise, consistency. I think he's like only throwing a couple picks all year too. So it's not like he's been performing poorly statistically at all.
It's out of the norm for him because he usually throws quite a few.
Yeah, he's one of the higher turnover rate players in the league just because he's so reckless of his play. So yeah, I think all those together, he would probably be the winner if they actually did a vote today.
Yeah. I'm just curious what your thoughts were. I would like to see non-quarterbacks win it more, but just
it's only really gone to running back, so I guess it is the one chance.
Quarterback, yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, that was when the league was a little bit more run-focused, I guess.
When did Peterson win?
Adrian Peterson won it in, what,
2012?
Was it 12? No.
It was the 10s decade.
Was it really?
Yeah.
He played that more recently.
He just played a couple years ago. He's not that old.
I mean, yeah.
I thought it was 2012, but I could be wrong. About
2012,
that.
Yep, MVP. Sure enough.
So we're looking at 12 years ago?
More recent than I thought.
He was like 28 when he did it. He was the same age as Saquon is right now because he just came off that big injury. That's why it was even more impressive because he literally came off an ACL injury. Yeah.
And it was after his injury.
It was the season after.
Longer ago than that.
So I think there's an outside shot Saquon can make it. Maybe put some bets on it. Can we even bet in Wisconsin?
Yeah, no one knows what the laws are.
Right.
You can kind of, I don't know. I was talking to a guy about this the other week, and it's like you can do like the DraftKings thing where you're like picking a team. It's skill-based gambling. But you can't, apparently you can't do, you can go to like 09 and stuff and do it, but you can't bet on like, I'm taking the Packers to cover the spread. Like that's illegal in Wisconsin because that's sports betting.
I would do that stuff if it wasn't. I feel like I'd be okay at it. The Lions, I'd probably bet on the Lions all the time. And most of the time I'd probably bet against them when they sucked. But like lately, I guess the books hate the Lions because they've beat the spread like 70% of their last like 3 years of games.
Oh, really?
So they keep losing tons of money on the Lions because like all the fans just keep betting on the Lions and they still keep losing the number. So pretty funny.
Yeah. But hey, so we'll jump back into the matchups.
I kind of got a little off track.
Now that we got our little MVP discussion thing out of the way. But yeah, on your team, you had Jaylen Waddle. He had his best game since the early 2022 season, so over 2 years ago since he had a game that good.
Only his second good game on the year.
Like, yeah.
He had a good week one. That wasn't, I think it was like 100 yards, but no touchdown. This one's over 100 yards and a touchdown. I thought he was going to be huge this year. I've been disappointed with him so far. Even with Tua back, he hasn't really done much. So
yeah,
hopefully it's the start of something to come, but
could be. Well, not this week though. Maybe the week after this week he can start.
You guys gotta play against them. I don't know. Yep. How do you guys do against those type of receivers, the shifty fast guys?
I mean we've been pretty good in I don't know. I'm just worried about Jair not playing with Tyreek Hill out there. And that's
been a disappointment this year.
Too. Yeah. And maybe he's kind of hurt. I don't really know.
That's right. I forgot about that. There was like talk he might go on the IR. Yeah, that was like really weird. But what even happened with him?
Did he hurt his hand or something? I don't, or his wrist.
I know Drew Rosenhaus came out and said something like really cryptic. That's his agent basically saying like, yep, he might get surgery. I'm not sure. And like no one even knew it was even a thing. And they're like, wait, what? Surgery? But then he's played the last 2 weeks, I think, even after.
Hey, maybe the team knows, and it's just like we can still throw him out there and demand coverage, and demand a guy stay deep every fucking play because he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's still getting.
If it's like a wrist or a hand, like he can still run around all he wants, but it's like don't throw it to him too much because he probably can't catch it.
Right.
But also in this match, Lee started Quentin Johnston. He's actually been looking pretty decent this year, at least especially lately. But he scores zero. He actually had a couple of real bad drops this game. This is his problem last year. If you just kind of like the Dantami Wicks thing, shit would hit him in the hands and he just drops it. So he kind of got back to his old self.
Talking about Wicks of like, you know, hand catching and stuff. Like Quentin Johnson's a body catcher. Those guys that generally have that problem, they catch with their body, and he is 100% a body catcher. And that's why I never liked him coming in the draft. Like those guys don't fix that. If you ever see a guy who can't catch, like that's just nope. I'm off of him right away.
And last note we had in this one, we had Joe Mixon. He does not get it done for Lee for the first time this season, at least for the first time when he was active and playing. He only scored 7. That's by far his worst. That guy's been
against the Lions. Oh, did he get a touchdown against the Lions? Yeah, he was probably like a 10. He didn't have like any yards against the Lions, but I think he got a touchdown. So that makes
sense. He played that game though?
Yeah.
Okay.
We bought him up though. I think he had like 21 yards rushing. It was after he had like 3 or 4 games in a row, like 100 plus. So.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is fall in the end zone. It's a good fantasy day.
Exactly. I think that's what happened.
It could be. Next matchup, we had Scoots versus Vicky. Vicky had a huge day from Josh Jacobs, who had 106 yards and 3 touchdowns. We kind of talked about that earlier when we talked about the Packers. They definitely leaned on him and they gave it to him in the red zone. If they keep doing that, Vicky's going to have a very useful fantasy player going forward. Because he's always been.
I'd say he's top 5 for the rest of the year.
He might be. I mean, it's getting colder. The weather's going to get shittier. Especially in Lambeau, there's going to be less passing and probably more running. And that's why they brought him there, is for exactly that.
That is the best running back you guys have had probably since Mon Green.
Yep.
He's
the best really pure runner. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Eddie Lacy was pretty damn good for like a year or two as well.
Yeah, he was pretty solid, but he was more of like just raw power. Like Jacobs can beat you every way.
Jacobs can speed up too.
He can bust long runs. Not like he's gonna run away from defenders.
He's not getting past. Yeah, he's not outrunning safeties and corners, but.
But I mean, if you give him 50 yards, he's gonna probably get you most of those 50 yards. Like you know, he's gonna still, as long as like the corner or safety doesn't have the best angle, he's gonna still get close to the end zone on a big run. He just might not pull away completely. But for a guy who can take and run between the tackles, can lower his shoulder and pretty much break any tackle from any defender in the league, and still be able to have that kind of speed, like he's a better version of David Montgomery, really.
Yeah, I mean, I still love Aaron Jones. I'm not saying he's better than Aaron Jones, but he's better as a he's better for what we need right now. So I'm glad he's here. Scoots, he got his gets a good game from Trey McBride. He got 12 catches for 133 yards, no touchdowns, but that's great production from a tight end getting 12 catches. You like to see that. Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey for Scoots though. Another quiet week. That was a duo I was extremely scared of. And I would, if I was in the playoffs, I'd still be scared of that. If he squeaks in and those guys get hot, that's,
I don't want Scoot in the playoffs at all.
Terrifying.
Yeah. I don't care. Like to me, it's like you give them another couple weeks. They might both be 20 point player game or player type players a game.
Probably 20 point floor kind of players.
Right. That's what they are. Weeks. So if they end up doing that, and he's in the playoffs, like he could theoretically be on the same level as me. Like that's what my team is right now. I have like a top one. I have the number one running back and number one receiver right now. So like those guys would literally be on that same level. You add that to any team, they're going to be very competitive. So I don't want Scoot in the playoffs. I kind of hope everyone just kind of keeps crushing him, keep him down there. I want to see that. I could easily see that being a team that started that bad and then win it all.
You heard it here first. Throw your games against Scoots for the rest of the year.
I mean, like you said, Trey McBride, 12 catches, 133 yards. Like he's been dominant this year. Like he's been great. Yeah, so you have a great tight end. You have like what the quarterback play. I mean, he's got Mahomes, like all these guys that could literally just turn it on in the playoffs and be the best player in the playoffs. Like I would not be surprised if Mahomes ends up the number one player. Hill ends up the number one player. McCaffrey ends up the number one player during the playoff stretch.
Yeah.
Aren't that good?
Yeah. Yeah. McBride, he's big. He's very used. He's almost like Bowers level usage. Like he just gets a ton of targets and a ton of looks. Kyler Murray loves him. Like I think he's the number one look on that offense when they're
throwing absolutely. The ball. Yeah. He is so good. I thought it was kind of crazy when people were saying like he should go over Laporta because obviously I'm a Lions fan. I don't pay enough attention to other teams to know, but everyone was like talking about how great Trey McBride was going into like the end of last year. And I'm like, there's no way he's better than Laporta. Look what Laporta's doing. And obviously that's completely changed this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Laporta's been down. I think they've been making him block a lot more, so that's part of the reason why he's going down statistically. So you could argue maybe he's a better all-around player than McBride, but as far as like a receiver, McBride is a better player than Laporta. He doesn't drop anything. He is a great route runner, great hands. I really like watching him play the few games I got to watch him.
Yeah. Next matchup, we had Port versus Jackie. Jackie wins 107.96 to 103. So a very close matchup here. Jackie barely scraped it out. I looked at the scores. There were really no big highlights on either side of this one. Puka and Smith and Jigba and Houston defense were Jackie's high scorers in this one in the mid-teens. And then Cup being Poor's only mid-teen scorer this week. No real big flashy scores. I mean, the total scores kind of show it. It was kind of on the middling to low end of what an average score is for this league.
Pretty hard to win of 107 points in this league because we have that extra receiver slot. So, like, I would say that's probably a little under average for the league for scores. So, to win a game, score 107, you're gonna feel pretty good.
I mean, I would have won against either one of these guys, but the last matchup we had is Richard versus Carstens. So, Richard wins this one 101.62 to 95.48. So, this is another very close one. Lamar Jackson, he got back over 20 after a bad week. Kyren gets another touchdown, big company with a fumble, so he didn't have a fantastic week. Jonnu Smith, he has another good showing for Carson's at the tight end spot. That's a pretty big tight end pickup for Carson's because he's been looking extremely involved in Miami's offense the last, well, basically since Tua got back. Dicker, the kicker, he scored 16 for Carson, so a good kicker outing. Jordan Addison, who was a big waiver wire pickup a few weeks ago, he had a great game for Richard. The Bears kind of just sold out to stop Jefferson, so I think that was the result of that. I mean, the Bears were, they were having three guys watching Jefferson every single play. Jefferson did almost nothing, but it's good to have a player like Addison when teams sell out like that. And it,
they like asked him about that, like, how do you feel about only getting 21 yards and then win? And he's like, the reason I got 21 yards is because they're all focused on me. Like, I'm happy all my teammates did well. You know, like, they're trying to catch him saying something stupid. But it's like, yeah, when you put that much focus on Jefferson, who I've always said is, I think, the best overall player in the league,
yeah,
regardless of position, and you have a good number two like Addison that can beat single coverage, that's what you have sometimes. Addison is in a great position to have a couple more blow-up games by the end of the year, I would say.
Yeah, when teams do that, they'll rely on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teams are going to sell out to stop one guy. Addison's more than capable of beating single coverage with no one over top. So,
and Addison's still young.
A lot of teams will do that because now they've seen him. I mean, it was a perfect showing of what happens if that's what you're trying to do.
Right. Yeah, he can beat you almost all the same ways that Jefferson can beat you. He can beat you over the top. He's not the biggest guy, but enough speed to really open up the over-top coverage that Jefferson's going to pull with the safety coming down. That's all you need. That's what we saw. We saw like a huge touchdown. Wasn't it like a 70-yard touchdown or something from him?
Yeah, he had one. Yeah, I know he had one really big play.
Yeah, that's what you get.
And then we had Jacoby Myers. He had the most yards he's had all season, but he did not get a touchdown this week. So, I mean, good game, but not great game. And then lastly, we had Bo Nix, Richard's starting quarterback for the last month or so. We kind of talked about him earlier. He's kind of looking like the new rookie of the year. That's been a great pickup for Richard.
I mean, that's probably why Richard's 7-5, right?
Yep. And that's why. It's because of Bo Nix. I mean, that guy's been fantastic, 20 to 30 points every week.
And I think that was around the time of the year when we were talking about, like, hey, free agency is starting to slow down. There's not many good players left. And then you still can find players like Bo Nix who can change your whole season. So it just shows you how, like, every little move you make can matter. And Richard has been amusing all year to watch because I honestly don't think his team's that great. The good players he did have early in the year, half of them got injured. Like, he lost Chris Godwin, who was a big, you know, contributor to his team. And he just keeps making these decisions. Like, we've even said, like, why did he do this? Why did he do this? Why does he do it in this order? And he still keeps making these little tiny moves. Like, he just keeps finding players. Like, this is not the first time this year he's brought in a player that has done well for him for multiple weeks that no one probably would have picked up. So Richard's got something going for him. I don't know what it is. I don't think his team's good, but he's the second best record in the league, and he just keeps winning.
Mm-hmm.
He makes good decisions.
Yeah, right. Power to him. He takes the gambles. I think he's churned his roster way more than anybody else in the league.
Oh, way more. He did it the other year, too. Like, he does that every year. That's just the way he plays. It's fun to watch. I actually really respect his style of play. It's crazy, but it works.
He's found, by doing it, I mean, he's found a lot of the gems this year. Bo Nix is one of them. He got Jordan Addison off the waivers.
Wasn't Jonnu Smith his? Oh, that's Carson's.
Carson's, yeah.
That's been a big pickup lately, too, is Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a difference maker at the tight end, and Jonnu Smith's looking like a difference maker at the tight end rolling into the end of the season.
Everyone's talking about how, like, he made it for the Falcons. He was on the Falcons last year, and he kind of proved everyone that Pitts probably wasn't as good as they thought because he, like, basically targeted Pitts and stuff when he was there. And everyone's like, oh, this is terrible. Why would he go over there? And, like, he leaves the Falcons, and he's already looking better than the Pitts at the next stop, too. So,
yeah, I mean, Tua wasn't there. But I didn't see that coming. I don't know how Carson's. Did he have a good game and then Carson picks up? I don't even know.
I'm not sure. You might have just, he had the tight end from Cleveland who's been kind of hot and cold all year. So maybe he just wanted another guy to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been looking good. So, yeah, that's the matchups, and that's the show. Any other words for the people? I'm going to have to cut this one in half. We went pretty long.
We got off topic a couple times.
Yeah, we got off topic a lot of times.
It's easier when we don't have to worry about going to bed, like, right away and stuff.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Easier just to kind of ramble on. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope everyone gets to have a good time with their family. I know sometimes these years can, you know, this time of year can be stressful depending on how your family is, but we have a pretty easygoing year for us for Thanksgiving, or this year for Thanksgiving. We're just going to go and have dinner with her sister's family, and it should be fun. We did it last year. It was a nice change of pace than having to like rush up north and, you know, you'd have to cook all the meal and stuff. And it's just like it's a little bit more of a relaxed week for us. What about you? Then,
December 7th is Friendsgiving for anyone who's available.
Oh yeah.
And free.
We'll be there.
It's not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Don't miss out. We'll have brisket, pulled pork, and whatever other things people bring. It's usually a pretty big feast.
Yeah. If you got your barbecue there, I'm always going to be there.
Yeah, we'll have it. I'm thinking about starting it the night before this time, so I don't have to stress about it getting done. Like I might just start it at like 9 or 10 o'clock the night before, stay up pretty late, and then tag Jackie and Dove, watch it, and then I'll go to sleep.
It's a good idea.
The last couple years, like I've been getting up at like 2:33 in the morning to start it at like 4. But then sometimes the shit's not done at like 4 or 5. I'm like, God damn, I just need to pull it out. Like, it's not quite as done as it needs to be, but it needs to come out because people are getting hungry. And everyone's drinking.
I think I remember that last year getting pulled out kind of early, and it was... I don't remember it being cooked poorly or anything, so it probably still tasted great. Good,
but it's like, it wasn't quite to the point where it wasn't to like the perfect cook point yet. So I'm like, whatever, it's getting pulled out. It has to get pulled out now.
You're getting pretty passionate about it. You've been doing that for like 5+ years now. So I'm sure you're getting to that point where like, you know, when it's good, you know exactly what you want. And...
Yeah, it wasn't quite there. I mean, it's done. It's ready to eat after probably like 4 hours. Like it's to the temp that it's safe to eat, but it's like, it needs to really... It's meats that need to cook for a long time. And sometimes that long time's 8 hours, but sometimes that long time's like 16 hours, and there's no way to know until it starts cooking. So
I was like, everyone different? Like, every meat's different? Interesting.
It depends what side of the cow it comes from, because like, I think the right side's the side they always get up on, because that's how they lay, so that part's tougher. The left side's like not as muscly and more fatty. And like, just how fatty it is, how fat the cow was, what it ate, all that kind of shit. And you don't know any of that. You're just buying a piece of meat from the store.
Right. And it's like, you think it's the same meat every time. But yeah, that makes sense. Like the whole side thing, I mean, that would be understandable why. So yeah, you don't know where you're getting it. That's crazy to think like that little bit of change can make a big difference.
Yeah. And I'm sure part of it's too, like how warm the smoker is. And it's hard to keep it perfect when you're starting it at night when the sun's not out and it's windy, and then... Or it's not windy, and then it gets windy, and then the sun comes out and all that shit. So, but we'll figure it out. It'll be a good time. And everyone's
never disappointed. You always
everyone
doing
listening
job.
Is invited.
I'm sure everyone would agree with me. It's always good.
Get them drunk first. That's the trick to cooking good food. But yeah, that's all I got. So we'll
say. What are you guys doing for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, nothing. I actually work tomorrow. I don't work till 11:30, I think. Okay. And I just work till 11:30 to 5, so it's a part day.
That's not too bad.
But yeah, we did a Thanksgiving 2 Saturdays ago. We do have one this Saturday, and then we got the Friendsgiving on the 7th. But it just wound up we were doing nothing on Thanksgiving, and we needed someone to work. I was like, I might as well do it. I'm just going to be sitting at home, chilling.
Sometimes it's nice to have a holiday off, to be honest. I don't hate that
just
kind
do
of
nothing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that free day to not panic and get everything done. It's just like, oh, I just have a free day off and everything's closed. I'll just eat some good food. And...
Well, it's like over the years, like everyone's planned to do things not on Thanksgiving. It's like someone else is going to be doing stuff on Thanksgiving. So we'll plan the Saturday before or the Saturday after. And it's like over the years, like I guess now we're just not doing anything on Thanksgiving Day anymore.
I think that's how most
trying to avoid
are.
The conflict. Yeah.
Yep. Because it's like, oh, well, this is when we want to do it because your family wants to do it on Thanksgiving. So we'll be the family that goes on, you know, a week before, a week after. Yeah. It's now it's just all these holidays are all over the place. Like we don't ever celebrate Christmas Day, like ever. It's always different days of the year at December.
Yeah.
Last year we did ours middle of summer because like we had to cancel ours because of a snowstorm with Vicky's family.
Oh, really?
So we just had a beach day this year for our Christmas party. So yeah, I haven't had a normal Christmas in probably like 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not big on it. It has to be the exact day anyways. You're getting together with, I mean, hopefully it's people you like in your family and
right.
That way for everybody, but it is for me. I love it. I love seeing everybody. It's fun. So I don't fucking care what day it is. It's just fun to do it.
I agree. It's always a good time to see everybody. My family always gets together at least around this time once just to catch up. You know, I don't have to see my brother and sister too much. So, or my parents at this point. Everyone's up north. My brother lives in Sheboygan, but, you know, we don't do things like weekly or anything like that. So,
how far up north are your parents?
They're in, well, my mom's even further up north now. My dad is the closest, and he is in, it's actually Wisconsin. What is it called? I forgot the name of the city now. It's close to Quinnesec, but it's on the other side of the bridge, so it's in Wisconsin. Florence, Wisconsin.
So is that like a two and a half hour drive?
Yeah, about 2.5 hours. And then my mom's like another like 30 minutes north, and my sister moved up probably like an hour north from my dad. So that's where we're gonna go for Christmas, is my sister's.
I
can't remember what town it is, but they're way up north in the UP.
Yeah, hopefully the weather's good.
I hope so.
You get up that far, and it's like, oh yeah.
They live on a lake too, and it's like
3 feet of snow today. No big deal.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, I gotta drive back though. It's a lot of snow for a 4-hour drive.
Yeah, well, nobody's leap up there though. So
yeah, it's true.
Bad. But yeah, there's been some bad years where we couldn't even go back like home the next day because of the snow.
Yeah.
You gotta wait because you get snowed in for a day.
Yeah. It's the nature of the UP.
Oh yeah.
Lots of snow. I don't want to live up there. Get enough down here.
It's getting better, but yeah, typically they have more than we do.
But yeah, it's the holiday plans. Should we call her there?
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably stuff worth cutting out.
I mean, I'll probably just cut it in half and it'll be like an hour apiece. Yeah. Alrighty. Thanks everybody for listening. Good luck in fantasy. Good luck making the playoffs if you're all live. Except for me. I wish you all luck. Somebody take down Jim. Don't let him get away with it. Talk to you next
time. Super Bowl, fantasy football championship on my mind. No,
you can't have both.
I can have both.
Can't have both.
I'll retire from football after this. I'll stop watching the NFL. I'll stop playing fantasy. I will be retired. I'm going out on top. That's it.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.